Julie Bishop is the Foreign Minister. She joins me on the line from Croatia. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Kim.
Do you think the Prime Minister's remarks that Robert Menzies never intended the Liberal Party to be conservative will antagonise some of your colleagues?
It shouldn't. I've read a transcript of the Prime Minister's speech. It is to a British audience and it very eloquently articulates our values as the Liberal Party, and he refers to Sir Robert Menzies' efforts in the 1940s to consolidate the centre-right of Australian politics. It's an historically accurate account of how our founder, Robert Menzies, called the Liberal Party a progressive party believing in freedom and the rights of individuals and free enterprise, and how Menzies expressly rejected naming the party the Conservative Party because it was to combine liberal and conservative traditions, what John Howard always referred to as the broad church, or what Tony Abbott called the sensible centre. And of course it is in stark contrast to Labor, that believes in big government and is entirely beholden to the unions, a wholly owned subsidiary of the unions, answerable only to union bosses and duty-bound to deliver benefits to union bosses of the calibre of those at the head of the CFMEU.
So it shouldn't be seen as a rebuke to those in the party who've been critical of the Liberal Party's direction?
It is an historically accurate articulation of how the Liberal Party gained its name, and he speaks of the values articulated by Robert Menzies, which are as relevant today as they were in the aftermath of World War II. I think there's one element of his speech, and I've got the transcript in front of me. He says, "So the balance between the individual and the state, our side of politics leans heavily in favour of freedom and the individual, preferring choice over prescription and freedom over regulation, always sceptical about the wisdom and interference of governments." That sums up the contemporary Liberal Party as much as it did the foundation of the party over 60 years ago.
If I could turn to your trip, you're the first Australian Foreign Minister to make an official visit to Croatia and the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. What do you hope to achieve?
I am visiting countries in Southeast Europe, in particular meeting with government leaders and ministers in Zagreb, in Belgrade, in Skopje, and they are aiming to be or are members of the European Union and NATO, two organisations that are of vital importance to Australia's economic and national security. For example, I'm in Croatia at present, a country with whom we have strong connections between our citizens. There's a large Croatian community in Australia. And it's an increasingly important voice within the European Union, within NATO. They are supporters and advocates of the international rules-based order, and they are a democracy, they're committed to freedoms. We're very like-minded democracies, in fact, and Croatia is also part of the coalition against ISIL, and so we discuss counter-terrorism, and we discuss the fact that Croatia has a vibrant Muslim community and has managed integration between ethnic and religious communities exceedingly well, given the challenges it's had. We're also pursuing a free trade agreement with the European Union, and Croatia will be an important voice in that decision.
You mentioned the fight against terrorism, and in Iraq, the Prime Minister there has declared victory over the Islamic State group in Mosul. Aside from our military training, could Australia now help with reconstruction efforts?
Australia has provided funding in the past. In April, we provided $10 million to meet immediate humanitarian needs, and we're providing $100 million over the next 3 years to support critical stabilisation efforts and to lock in these security gains. This is a major milestone in Iraq's fight against ISIL. Mosul was the largest city under control of ISIL and the place where it declared its so-called caliphate in 2014. I well recall visiting Baghdad in about October of 2014 when Prime Minister Abadi sought Australia's support in training, advising and assisting Iraqi security forces to take back control of their territory and defeat ISIL. And since that time, Australian Defence Forces have trained about 24,000 Iraqi security forces, including about 4,000 police. So the liberation of Mosul is not only a huge milestone for Iraq, it's a significant milestone in the fight overall against ISIL.
If I could turn to North Korea, was the G20's failure to issue a statement on North Korea's missile tests a missed opportunity?
Prime Minister Turnbull informed me that the leaders did discuss the threat posed by North Korea on the first day of the G20 summit. It is essentially an economic forum. Indeed, it's the premier international forum for global economic cooperation.
Big issues like this are often discussed. Were you disappointed that the US president didn't want to try to rally world leaders around an agreed statement on North Korea?
Well, the place for the focus on North Korea is clearly in the Security Council, particularly amongst the permanent five members, and that includes Russia and China. And North Korea is thumbing its nose at the Security Council. There are numerous UN Security Council resolutions banning the type of ballistic missile testing that North Korea is undertaking, preventing North Korea from pursuing a nuclear weapons program. And leaders at the G20 discussed the need to develop an appropriate response through the UN Security Council to address North Korea's continued violation of these resolutions. And there must not be any division between the Security Council members. There must be no lack of resolve, otherwise North Korea will believe that it has the imprimatur of other countries Russia and China to continue.
Do you acknowledge the role that the US does play in trying to lead the world? Do you think Donald Trump is not up to the job because he doesn't seem to want to rally people around this issue?
Well, the United States is already playing a very active role at the Security Council. I met with their permanent representative, Ambassador Haley, when I was last in New York. And the United States, under President Trump, are very active in redoubling their efforts to implement unanimously agreed UN Security Council resolutions and sanctions against North Korea, to press upon it that its current path is unsustainable. And the United States is a leading voice in calling on China to do more, given China's unique relationship with North Korea. It has a unique ability to use undoubted leverage through its foreign direct investment, its remittances, its financial support to help North Korea change its behaviour.
All right, Minister, thank you very much for speaking with AM.
My pleasure.
That is the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, on the line from Croatia.